Blessed are the flexible, right? Amen. Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Pastor Joe is out of town today. Eddie Galindo, if you know him, he's usually doing the drums and playing the harmonica. His mother passed away, and so Pastor Joe is doing the memorial service and ministering to the family over there. I believe it's in the Corona area or Chino, that's right, Chino, yeah. So Pastor Joe's over there ministering, and so I am blessed tonight to be able to share with you out of 2 Timothy tonight. As we look at the Word together, we're going to be talking about something that I believe is one of the most important, if not the most important part or key factor to our faith in Jesus Christ, is a beautiful word called grace. And we're going to see tonight how everything we have in the Lord has come and has been drawn from the grace of God. Even our salvation, or it is by grace you have been saved. That is the opening, that is the door opening. Our part is through faith, believing and trusting in Him, but it all comes from God's grace. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if you would like to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's where we'll be tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your grace. Even as we just sang, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Lord, I pray tonight we would bless you as we sit at your feet, Lord, with your precious word. We ask you, the good shepherd, would teach us tonight, Lord, that your Spirit would lead us and give us understanding in your word. We ask for you, Lord, to be glorified and be honored here this evening. That your precious word, the word of truth, would be rightly divided, Lord, and that we would have an understanding and that we would be able to comprehend the preciousness of your word, of your grace this evening. We ask you these things with open and willing hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, if you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We'll get a Bible in your hand. We'd love you to follow along with us in God's word. So a little background on Timothy. Timothy was the Apostle Paul, his protege, if you will. He was the one that he raised up. Young Timothy was a pastor. And actually, the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, they're known as pastoral epistles. And it's something that anybody who is in the pastoral ministry must be familiar with this book. There are other pastoral ministries, but in this one tonight, it's not just for pastors. It's for ministry. And the thing about ministry is everyone who's been saved, everybody who's been called out of darkness and into the glorious light of Christ and been saved and been born again, we are all ministers, every single one of us. God has a ministry for every single one of us. No matter, you know, we try to measure things on greatness and smallness. Oh, the pastor, the evangelist, okay, those guys are the ones that are really doing the stuff and really doing the amazing work. No. It's the body of Christ, all of us who are believers. We make up the body of Christ. We are his body, where Christ is the head of that body. And just as our bodies cannot work properly without certain parts, if you've ever stubbed your pinky toe, the smallest member on our body, it will certainly remind you that you have a pinky. You'll certainly be reminded as you're dancing around in pain. The littlest member, the biggest member, it doesn't matter. We're all part of the body of Christ. And I want to just kind of interject that before we start so that we get a full understanding of this section of Scripture. This is not just for the pastors. This is for every believer in Jesus Christ. And this is for every ministry that God has called us into. Your ministry might be at your workplace. Your ministry, if you're a father, your ministry is at home with your children. That's your number one ministry. Your ministry might be to the sick, working in hospitals, your ministry, wherever God has you, that is where you are to minister. And it's so important to know that. It's not just the pastor, it's not just the evangelist or the worship leaders. You know, what we do in here is we in this place, in the church, we are here to study the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, to worship the true and living God, so that we might all of us be edified to go out and do the work of the church. The work is in here. This is where we come to get fed, and it's where we come to get nutrition spiritually, and where we come to get edified so we can go out these doors and we can be a witness to a dying world, a world that's lost, a world that's hurting. And God gives us that equipment. He gives us the tools to do that. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. You know, in the times we live in right now, it is so important to know we see what's going on, the darkness that's in this world. It is so important to know where we get our strength from, to endure what's going on without being sucked in to the transformation of the world. You know, the world is transforming just as the believer is supposed to. And the Bible says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and not conformed to the world. But the world is transforming also. And the world is going further and further away from God. And we as believers, we must be strong in these times. In this particular epistle, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. He's writing from prison, one of his many visits behind bars, for sharing his faith, for sharing the gospel. Paul was indeed a warrior, a soldier for Christ. But we also remember Paul before he was saved, when he was a much sought-after one by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He was the one that was persecuting the church, burning churches down, arresting families, believers in Jesus Christ, and seeing them punished even to death. That was Paul's ministry before he was saved. God called him out of that darkness and used him in a mighty way. And so Paul is imparting what he has learned to young Timothy here and to us tonight. And so this is what the word of the Lord says. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. This is one of the most important sections on recognizing where our strength comes from and what we have to do to maintain that strength. As I said earlier, we are living in dark times in this world, and we need to be strong. One of the trends that I've seen right now is many Christians falling into the political debates, falling into the mudslinging that this world is doing right now. And I'm always reminded continually that every soul we come into contact with, every soul we see on TV, whether we like them or dislike them, Jesus Christ died for them. And when we slander other people, we are slandering those who are made in the image of God. We are slandering those that God created. We are slandering those that He knit together in their mother's womb. We're slandering those who were made the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus. It's not just the political stuff. That just happens to be what is setting the trend now. But there are many things in this world that are trying to pull our hearts away from God. There are many things that are happening that are steering us away from what we should be focused on. And so here in Timothy, where you look at an important section here of first, stewardship of what God has given us. And then we look at three examples on how to maintain the stewardship and maintain the strength that is in the grace of God through the soldier, through the farmer, through the athlete. We're going to kind of glean some things off of here that can help us to serve effectively and be effective in the ministry that God has called us into. In other words, to be powerful Christians, you know, to have that dunamis power, the power of the Spirit working in our lives, that we could be effective for the kingdom of God, and that we can be effective in the ministry that God calls us to. So verse 1 and 2, I'll read again. He says, "You therefore, my son," he's speaking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." The stewardship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to look at first here, Paul reminds Timothy, the things that we have been entrusted with and what we do with them. All of us have been given the precious gift of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have all been given this gift. It is by grace we have received this through faith. We have received salvation. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us how this is called the great mystery, or the mystery, depending on what translation you're reading. But it's known as the mystery. And if you, in your private time, I encourage you, read chapter 3 of Ephesians, because it's all about the mystery of God. How the mystery of God has been revealed to us, and how the mystery of God, the purpose of the mystery of God, and the appreciation for the mystery of God that has been revealed to us. Listen, what we have to remember is we have the answer to life's questions, the deepest questions that everybody is asking. What are those questions? Number one, why am I here? Why am I here? Many children, many kids, many teens, many adults, one of the number one questions when they start thinking about deep religious things in life, they start pondering things like eternity and where do I go, these things. Why am I here? Why was I created? We have the answer to that. That mystery has been revealed. How did I get here? We have the answer to that mystery as well. The school has an answer for the kids too, and it's garbage. It's called evolution. We can tell you how you got here. God created you. What am I supposed to do here? What is my purpose of being on this earth? Guess what? We have the answer to that too, right here. That's why the Apostle Paul was so determined in Ephesians chapter 3 to really point out this mystery that has been revealed to us. This great mystery that has been revealed to us. And not only that, he tells us the purpose of the mystery, glorifying God, drawing others to Jesus Christ. And then he gives us the appreciation for the mystery in Ephesians chapter 3. He talks about how we are so thankful to God that he saved us, that we should have this thankful mindset, if you will, of just totally appreciating and totally adoring God for what he's done for us. He's pulled us out of darkness. And anything he wants us to do, we should say, yes, Lord, here I am. Because we don't belong to ourselves anymore. So I encourage you in your reading time, read Ephesians chapter 3, because it will help this all make sense. And if we had time tonight, we would read the chapter, but we do not. So please read that in your private time. The Apostle Paul starts off with, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It is the grace of God that gives us the ability to do what we do for Christ. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, but we also have to draw on the grace of God because everything is wrapped up in His grace. The strength that we find, even as David said, the joy of the Lord is my strength, that is through the grace of God. That's God's grace. That grace of God is that getting what we don't deserve from God, getting what we could never possibly earn from God, that's God's grace. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where we're going to find our strength to endure. You see, it is not only our responsibility to receive all that God has given us, because we have to make that choice to say, here I am, Lord. We have to make that choice. He gives us the free will. But it's also our responsibility to give out. We need to give out what we have received from the Lord. Not just monetarily, spiritually. The things God has taught us, the things we have learned from His Word and things that He has shown us in our walk with Him, as Paul says, he says, these things you have heard from me and among many witnesses, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is discipleship. This is discipleship. Taking what we have been giving and pouring out into others. It is so important that we recognize this is the stewardship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of us are stewards of this. We are all going to be held accountable before God one day and have to give a response and have to give an account for all that we have said and done, as well as the things we haven't said and done. And that causes a great, healthy fear in my life for every child that God allows me to minister to, every adult, wherever God has me at the time. There's a healthy fear that I'm going to answer to God one day, and I'm going to have to give an account for what I shared or what I did not share. We are to pour out into the lives of others. This is healthy discipleship, folks. That's what Paul is talking about here. And he starts this section of Scripture off of sharing why this is so important, this basis for discipleship. You know, in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. But then he goes on to say, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All that we have received, we need to pour out. And that's what Paul starts off with here to Timothy. He says, listen, Timothy, all that has been given to you by the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus, you need to go and commit those to faithful men. You need to go and make disciples of others. Whatever the gifts are that God has given you, and He's given us all different gifts, those gifts are not for us. Those gifts are to invest into other people. It's like the account of the stewards that Jesus talks about, the parable of the stewards, and the one had three talents, one had two, one had one. They all had different amount of talents. But some of the talent, one of the stewards took the talents and he went and invested. And he made a profit for his master. The one with the second, or with the two talents, he went and invested and he made a profit. But the one with one talent, he went and buried it and did nothing with it. And because he did nothing with it, he was rebuked by his master. He says, you buried your talent. In other words, modern translation for us is, you have buried the gifts that God has given you. You're not using them. You're not using them. You're not investing in the lives of others with all that God has given you. And I find myself guilty of this at times too. And when I read sections of scriptures like this, I am reminded, what am I doing with the gifts that God has given me and the talents that God has given me? Am I investing my life into others? Am I pouring out into other people's lives? Am I putting myself last and others first? Am I pouring out all that God has given me so that there's this fresh renewal happening and I don't go stagnant? Many of us can come to that place where we get stagnant in our walk with the Lord. And I'll tell you, for me personally, when I find myself in that position, one of the big questions I ask myself is, what am I doing for Jesus right now? What am I doing with all that God has given me? Who am I pouring out into? Who am I investing time into? Who am I investing just love and nurturing and discipling into? Who am I caring about? Who am I pouring my life into? And usually my answer comes back, not much right now. And that's why I find myself stagnant. Maybe you can agree with me. Maybe you found yourself in those times where you feel stagnant. You realize, I got to get out of myself. I need to serve others. I need to get out and serve. It is so important that we pour out all that God has given us. And the Apostle Paul brings up stewardship of these things. The stewardship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been given an amazing gift to share with others, every one of us. We have the answers to all the mysteries of life right here. And there's a lost and dying world that is asking questions. And we need to get out there and we need to proclaim the gospel. We need to share the love of Christ with others. So now, in order to effectively and successfully be strong in doing this, because as I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of things in this world that are trying to pull our heart away. A lot of things in this world that are trying to take our time, take our attention away from what our main purpose here on earth is. Our main purpose, to win souls for the kingdom of God. To win souls for Christ. Because in the end, only thing that really matters on this earth are the souls that are here. And where they're going to go for eternity. That is our purpose. That is all of us. That is our calling. To bring as many people with us into the kingdom of heaven. To do that effectively, we must be strong. We cannot be weak, because we will find ourselves sidelined. And these times we live in now, the enemy is working harder than ever before. And I don't know about you, but I know for myself, I have found myself being steered away more often in these days now than I ever have before. So many things trying to steal my attention, trying to draw my heart away from God. And I know you can agree with me on this, because I know that we are a body of Christ, and if one member hurts, they all hurt. So I know that you feel this too. There is an oppression in this world. There is a presence in this world that is trying to steer our heart away from God and to get us off our focus and off our main task at hand. We are to be a light in this world. We are to be salt in this world. And if a salt loses its flavor, what good is it? It gets trampled on, the scripture says. The grace of God is very important, that Paul points out here, because that's where our strength comes from. We recognize, first off, who we are in Christ is by the grace of God. And we have been entrusted this amazing truth of the mystery of God by the grace of God. And we will only accomplish the ministry God has called us into by the grace of God. The grace of God is important. And many people I've talked to that struggle in their walk and they forget about the grace of God. That's our center. That's where the heart of ministry and everything that God has equipped us with, it's a gift of God. It's from His grace. The grace of God is so important, folks. That's why Paul says, be strong in the grace not just grace, but in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is the grace of God. That is where we're going to tap into our strength to be efficient in what God has us to do. Paul can really speak high levels on this grace, and I believe we all can too, because we can all remember when we were in darkness, right? When God pulled us out of darkness and into his light, when we realized that we are loved, when we realized that there is a creator who created us and he loved us and he died for us and then he saved us and we give our life to Jesus. We can all remember that darkness we were in and how God pulled us out. And I want to read with you, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, put your ribbon in there. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:9. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul has to say about grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul again. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God." He says, "I am the least of the apostles, not even worthy to be an apostle, because I persecuted the church." And that was Paul's old life, when he was burning churches down, arresting families, watching people being put to death for their faith. He says, "I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." But listen to verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." By the grace of God, we are who we are in Christ Jesus. By his grace. And it says that, "And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but listen to this, but the grace of God which was with me." It was the grace of God that called us out and brought us to where we are. Not only that, it is the grace of God that's going to get us to where God wants us to be. We know the finishing. We know the finishing line. We know the end of the story. And the thing that's going to get us from point A here to point B, eternity in heaven with God, it's going to be his grace. When we go to witness to others, whatever God has called you to do in between while we're here on earth, it's going to be by his grace. I love that. I love what the Apostle Paul said there about grace. He says, it's the grace of God. I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. God's grace towards us was not in vain. It was not a mistake. It was not done hastily. It was not done in anger. God's grace towards us was done in love, because he loves us. You are so cherished by God, and he wants to give you everything he has, all of us. But our minds are on things of the world. Our minds are on bickering over small things in this world that mean nothing, absolutely nothing, when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. Everything in this world is going to burn up. Moth and rust is going to destroy everything in this world. But the soul, the human soul, is going to last forever. And if we want to make an impact on a dying world, as the Apostle Paul wanted to, it's going to be by the grace of God. And then we're going to have to recognize God's grace towards our life and be able to receive it. Be able to receive that grace. Sometimes we are so hard on ourselves that we miss the grace of God. We don't leave that space in our life for God's grace, and that's a dangerous place to be, when you stop drawing on God's grace to get you through. Because in the end, the only thing that's going to get us through day to day, that's going to give us strength, is going to be the grace of God. So yes, Timothy, my son, Paul said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where your strength is going to come from. That's everything is tied into the grace of God. Your ability to shun evil, to say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to fall into a gossip chain. I'm not going to fall into caring about things of this world. I'm not going to go put my heart into trying to collect as much stuff in this world as I can get. No, I'm not going to do it. I am dead to the world and I am alive in Christ. That is our position in Christ. And if we want to have that position and walk in that authority and walk in that power, folks, we need to draw on the grace of God. We need to draw on that grace, that unmerited favor, that amazing gift that we don't deserve. We need to say, Lord, I need you. I need your grace. And we need to draw on his grace. Leave room in your life for God's grace. That's what he's encouraging Timothy here, right at the beginning. Be strong in the grace, Timothy. God, now we look in, as we go into the next few verses here, we're going to look at three different characters, if you will, that are going to help encourage us on how to be strong and to have the victory in our lives as Christians. So verse 3 and 4, actually I'll just read from verse 3 to 6. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So we look first at the good soldier, he says. He says the good soldier here must endure hardship. We must also recognize, Christians, that we are not exempt from hardship. We're going to go through hardships in this life. We're going to go through heartbreaks. We're going to go through times of trials. You know, in John 16:33, Jesus tells us, in this world we will have tribulation. We will have tribulation, not we might. He says we will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We need to be able to endure those times when God allows certain hardships in our life. We have all faced different hardships, all of us. But I want to remind you that no matter what you've gone through, no matter what hardship God has put you in, you're sitting here tonight. You're sitting here. Do you know how you're able to endure? Through the grace of God. By his grace. The strength that God imparts to us. Those times when we're going through sufferings and we recognize Jesus is always with us through whatever it is we're facing. He never leaves us. He will never forsake us. He is always with us. We must be as the good soldier and endure hardships. Don't give up. Don't quit. We need to press forward. God will strengthen us. By his grace, he will give us strength to endure. You're all here tonight. And I know many of you have went through some really hard things in life. We're all here. Has God not kept his promise? Have we not endured? We have. God is faithful. Jesus said we will go through tribulation in this world. Because now we are identified in Christ Jesus, right? We're identified in Christ Jesus. We're his disciples. So just as Jesus went through many trials, many tribulations, many troubles, we'll face those too. But it's all right. You know, when we suffer here in this world, we know that glory's waiting around the corner. This isn't all there is. The suffering will pass. Endurance, we must draw on God's grace to endure, folks. And he says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He then goes on to say, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has established him as a soldier. In other words, avoid getting distracted by things of this world. Remember that we are in a spiritual battle. We are not on a playground, and we are in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and women. We are in a spiritual battle, folks. Do not get caught up in the things of this world, those things that distract, as I mentioned earlier. We need to stay focused on the battle with the motive behind what we do to please our commander, the one who enlisted us, our captain, if you will, Jesus. Hebrews 2:10 tells us that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He is the one that called us out. He's the one that said, "Come to me, all who are weary, I'll give you rest." Sinner, saint, doesn't matter. But that's what he says. The good soldier doesn't get entangled with the affairs that don't matter in a warfare, but he's focused on the objective. And the motive behind the objective is to please the one who enlisted him as a soldier, Jesus. So to be strong in whatever God has called us to do, to be strong Christians, one of the things we have to remember is the motive behind which we do things. What is our motive behind what we're doing? Whatever it might be, whatever God calls you to do, what is the motive behind why you do it? Challenging question on many things. Jesus, he's the captain of our salvation. We must receive our marching orders from the Lord. Jesus, the Word made flesh. He is the one who enlisted us. We must be fully committed to Jesus Christ with a deep trust and reliance upon him, knowing that when we obey Jesus, when we trust and obey, he encourages us in our sufferings. He encourages us and strengthens us when we're going through afflictions. Jesus died and rose again, proving not only he defeated death, conquered death, but again, proving that for us as believers in Christ Jesus, suffering always leads to glory. Suffering always leads to glory. Not only that, what may seem like defeat at the time, or we're about to be defeated, always leads to victory in Christ Jesus. Glory and victory are his. And those are the end results. The good soldier called by the Lord must endure hardships at times, but we must also remember we have victory in Christ Jesus. We have victory because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. We have victory. The good soldier recognizes that. So yes, we're going to go through hard times. We're called to endure through those. We're called to be a good soldier, taking our orders from the Lord, from his word, recognizing that he called us, and our motive behind what we do should be for the glory and the honor of God. Be God's glory, all his. That should be the motive behind what we do. Folks, if we listen to the scriptures tonight and we apply these to our life, God is going to do exceedingly and abundant great things in our life that we can't even comprehend. When our motive is to glorify God, all the demons in hell quiver. When our motive is right to honor and glorify God, watch out. God's going to do amazing things. When the motive is right, he's going to do amazing things. Be a good soldier. Good lesson there. Paul gives us another example here in verse 5. And he says, "And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." We have rules we have to follow in this walk. There are rules we have to follow. There are scriptures that we must obey that tell us these rules. We are to commit all things to God. We are not to lean on our understanding, but commit all things to God. There are many rules. We are to confess our sins daily to God. That's why he said in 1 John, he says, confess your sins to him, to God. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a daily thing, folks. We're not looking to get saved daily. The work on the cross is complete and finished, but we need to be forgiven daily because the Holy Spirit will not abide fully in us without being grieved if there's sin in our life. God is still holy. He's still just. He's still perfect in all his ways. And we need to be cleansed daily with the Lord. I love what John Corson said. We went to a men's retreat years ago, and John Corson was speaking, and he was talking about that scripture. And he was saying, yes, we confess our sins to him. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And there was a guy he was telling us about who came up to him after a message one Sunday. And he said, John, he says, if I'm listening to you right, I mean, I have to go to the Lord every day and confess my sins? He says, yeah. He says, I'm going to spend every day in prayer. He says, exactly. That's what you're supposed to do. Draw close to God, spending time in prayer with him, time with in fellowship with him. And listen, folks, we need to be clean vessels so that we can be vessels for honor and not dishonor. And God will cleanse us. And again, it's by God's grace. He will cleanse us. He will wash us, make us clean, and use us. We have to obey the rules. You know, Paul turns to the athletes here, and it's not a surprise. Oftentimes, Paul used athletic illustrations to remind us and to teach and instruct us in the Gospels. Back in these times, to the Greeks and the Romans, sports was huge. I mean, they had the Olympics. They had many competitions. Sports was huge there. But they had to obey the rules of the competition or they'd be disqualified. And they were very strict. The judges then were very strict about following the rules. If an athlete did not compete according to every rule they had, they were disqualified. If they won something and won a crown and later discovered that they didn't follow a particular rule, they would be returned and they would have to give their crown back and they would be disqualified. And again, look at what's going on in the world. There are many things that are trying to distract us and take our heart away from God. Things on television, internet, whatever it might be. Places that our minds start to go that where they shouldn't go. Things that are trying to disqualify us. And we are all one step away or one bad choice away from disqualification. Every one of us. But for by the grace of God, there go I. By the grace of God. His grace is so important in our lives tonight. His grace is so important. We need to be reminded of that. The athletes had to compete according to the rules. You know, one of the first rules in the Olympics back then, one of the very first rules for qualification to be an athlete is you had to be a citizen of that nation. That was the first qualification. And the first qualification for you and I to be used by the Lord in a mighty way, the first thing we have to do is be born again. We have to be citizens of heaven. A question to ponder tonight, are you born again? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because none of this will matter because you're not in a race yet until you're a citizen of God. You got to be a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. We have to be obedient to the word of God. You know, God says in his word that he desires obedience more than sacrifice. God desires that we listen to his word and we obey what we hear and what we read. We have to obey the word of God, not just hear it. You know, faith comes by hearing, and the hearing of the Word of God, but an accurate translation of that is faith comes by hearing in obedience to the Word of God. Because unless we're being obedient to the Word of God, we're not going to see an increase in our faith. You can't just hear the Word of God and do nothing about it and expect to have this increase in faith. And we all need an increase. Amen? Amen. We all need an increase in faith. I know my prayer, my wife's prayer, oftentimes our prayer is, Lord, help us to trust you more and worry less. Trust you more and worry less. Give us an increase in faith. So the third section here, in verse 6, it says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake the crops. Now he looks to the hardworking farmer. And as we look at the farmer, I want to point out two things about the farmer. Number one, the farmer works. He's out in that field, and he is getting that field ready. He's plowing, he's sowing, he's watering. The farmer works. We can't just sit back and do nothing as Christians and come in here on Sunday or Wednesday or listen to a message online and then do nothing about it. We have to get up. We have to work. There is a lost and dying world out there that is perishing and going to hell for eternity. We need to be busy about our Father's business. God has a work for every one of us. But the first thing I see is work with the farmer. The second thing I see is patience. We need to have patience. The hardworking farmer, you know, he must work. He's called to work, serve others, volunteer, be a part of the church, do things. When we have things, I encourage everyone, sign up, be a part of it. Ladies get togethers, men's get together, family get togethers, whatever we're doing, come and be a part of it. Be encouraged. But the farmer is a hard worker. In fact, Solomon, the wisest man to live on this earth apart from Jesus, Solomon tells us, if you want to, turn with me to the left to Proverbs 24. So important. Proverbs 24. Verse 30 of Proverbs 24. I went by the field of the lazy man and the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. If you turn with me back to the right, we're going to go to James real quick. Brother James, chapter 5. James chapter 5, this is on patience, verses 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives its early and later rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Patience and work. These are the traits we see in the farmer. Working hard and being patient. You know, when we sow and we do things for the Lord and we're scattering seed, we're sowing into the kingdom of God, we have to be patient also and let God bring the increase to what it is we're doing. And the reason is that we can be partakers of the fruit from that work. And that's what he says in 2 Timothy here. That's what he's talking about. He says that, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. God allows us when we are diligent and hardworking and we are patient and we are obeying him and trusting him and doing work for him, he will allow us to see fruit in that. Now, sometimes we have to wait for that fruit. Our pastor waited 30 years to see his brother saved and prayed for him all the time. There are things in our life that we're waiting for. We have to have patience, though. You know, in this modern world we live in, where everything happens lightning fast, you know, I was talking to the kids in Sunday school one day, and we were talking about it, and it's like, oh, I feel like I want to conversate with someone who lives in Russia, but I don't speak Russian. Well, let me just Google it. Now I have Google Translate on my phone, and within a couple minutes, I'm speaking to someone via social internet somehow in Russia. They're speaking Russian. I'm speaking American, and we're understanding each other instantly. So in this modern, fast-paced, now-type mentality, we have to recognize that God's work is not a now work. The fruit of God and the fruit from the work that we do for him is not instantly, okay, we're going to see fruit right now. Sometimes he lets us see things happen pretty quick. But we have to be patient. We have to stay the course. I love Chuck Smith. He was an amazing man. And in those words, he said these words on his, I had the CDs. Through the Bible with Chuck Smith, and I just, his voice resonates. He had that deep voice, and he'd stay the course. You need to stay the course. That always resonates in my heart and in my head. Stay the course. Stay the course. Do what God has called you to do, and stay the course. Be patient. Let God's fruit come to fruition. As we look down now, he tells us, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. He says, remember Jesus in all this. In all these things, we need to remember why we do them, but remember Jesus. Remember his suffering, that he was raised from the dead. And one of the best ways to remember his death, his burial, his resurrection is one of the things we acknowledge here, and it is the partaking of communion together. That's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We need to be reminded of his death. We need to be reminded of his burial, and we need to be reminded of his resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is so important. In fact, you don't have to turn there. If you want, you can. I'm going to Romans chapter 8. You're welcome to turn, or I'll just read it. But Romans chapter 8 really lays it out for us here. Why is the resurrection of Christ so important? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, he says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. In other words, the power, the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, dwells in us. We have that power if we want it. That power that rose him from the dead dwells in us. And this is why Paul told Timothy here, he said, remember Jesus. Remember him. Remember that he was raised from the dead. Remember he was raised from the dead according to the gospel here. Remember that, because that's where our power comes from. That's the power that dwells in us. We are not powerless. We have victory in Christ Jesus. Jesus has defeated sin and death on our behalf, and we are partakers of the glory of God. We will be co-reigners with Christ one day. This is our reward. Remember, he says, the resurrection, that he was raised from the dead. This is the reason, Paul says in verse 9, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, in other words, just like evildoers, even to the point of chains. Paul was in chains at this point of time when he was writing this. He was imprisoned himself writing this letter. He says, but listen, even though I'm in chains, the word of God is not chained. Nothing can stop the Word of God from going forward. Nothing. The Lord Himself said that the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my Word shall remain forever. Nothing can tarnish or suppress or destroy the Word of God. Nothing. Paul says, I might be in chains, but the Word of God is certainly not in chains, nor will it ever be. Therefore, Paul says in verse 10, I endure all things. And why? For the sake of the elect, for the sake of other brothers and sisters. Remember that we are in this together. We are the body of Christ together. And when we suffer, the whole body suffers. But when we have victory, the whole body has victory. So when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are accomplishing the tasks that God has for us, when we are claiming victory in the name of Jesus Christ, when we are strong in the grace of God, and when He allows us to be partakers of victory in whatever ministry He has, the whole body proclaims victory. All of us do. When one of you have victory over whatever it might be in your life, we all rejoice with you. And we have victory because you have victory, because we're all part of the body of Christ. Paul says, I am doing this for the elect. I'm doing this for the sake of the body of Christ. The way he looked at it was, look, it doesn't matter if I'm in prison. It doesn't matter if I'm shipwrecked, beaten, or I'm in prison. He says, I do all this stuff for the glory of God. And he says right here, for the sake of all of you. He was others-minded. And we need to remember that too, that when God calls us to do something as a Christian, not only are victories, does everybody have victory with you, but when we fail and we miss the mark, and we don't do what God's called us to do, the body hurts as well together. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's bigger than all of us. It's the body of Christ. It's His church. It's His body. You know, we were called into His light. He bought us with His blood. He paid for us. We are bought and paid for, secure and sanctified and sealed for the day of redemption. We are His. But knowing that, we have to remember that we are not alone in this. There are others who are watching us, not just the world, other Christians. For some of us who are more mature, there are younger ones watching you to see how you react to things in your life and what you do. How do you serve the Lord? What's it look like to be a servant? For those who also are younger, they're encouraging the older ones with their zeal and their excitement for the gospel. See, we all have a part in the body of Christ, every single one of us. None of us are on the sidelines unless we choose to be there. It's our choice if we want to sit on the sidelines or not. I was reading this section of Scripture, and I was just finding myself just repenting, going, Lord, help me to remember these important things. We tend to forget. All of us do. The simple importance here tonight that we have strength in the grace of God, and through His grace and by His grace, we're going to accomplish amazing things if we let Him. He wants to do amazing things with us, church. Amazing things. But we can't be afraid and we can't be unsure and we can't waver to the left and right. We need to trust in Him fully and be led by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, without being afraid or ashamed of what might happen, but let the Lord lead His church. It's His church. He says, for if we died, and Paul goes in and tells us, I believe this is some type of a hymn that the church of this time was singing, or something that the church of this time was saying. This is not a quote from Scripture, although there are many parts of Scripture tied in here, but I believe this was a hymn of some sort. He says, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And I love that about the Lord. Even when we are faithless and even when we mess up, God is still seated on the throne. And you know what? It's the only thing that's holding you back from getting back up on that horse is drawing on the grace of God. He's already preparing a venture in your life. You might have messed up recently. You might have messed up with the last ministry God entrusted you with or whatever the calling was he had. You might have missed the mark. God is still on the throne, and he still wants to empower you, and he still wants to use you in a mighty way. And God is faithful. He can never deny himself. He remains faithful even when we are faithless. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for these important truths that, Lord, apart from your grace, we're nothing, Lord. Oh, Lord, it is all a gift from you. The giving of your only Son, the giving of Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, maybe there's some here tonight that feel maybe they just need an encouraging word from you. That maybe they just need to get back on track. Lord, I pray we would just all lay our pride down. That we would take a few moments, Lord, to seek after you right now. Just to go to you in prayer, Lord. To come to you and ask you to forgive us, Lord. To empower us again with your Spirit. Fill us fresh, Lord God. And cleanse our hearts. Many of us are suffering right now. Many afflictions. Physical, spiritual, mentally, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would touch and heal those who are suffering right now. Search our hearts, God. Search our hearts. And anything that you find that is not pleasing to you, Lord, I pray you would remove through the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus that washes away all our sin. Oh, Lord, how we love you. We praise you tonight, Lord. We give all glory, honor, and praise to you. If there's anyone here tonight who needs prayer as the worship team is leading us, I'm going to be up front here. I'm going to ask any of the elders, I know Randy's here, to come up front. And if you need prayer, just come up, let us pray for you.